British accents are an emblem of linguistic grace, as Henry Higgins, played by Rex Harrison, extols in My Fair Lady.
The majesty and grandeur of the English language is the greatest possession we have. The noblest thoughts that ever flowed through the hearts of men are contained in its extraordinary, imaginative, and musical mixtures of sound.
And then there's his pupil, Eliza Doolittle, played by Audrey Hepburn.
In Hartford, Edinburgh, Hampshire, Atkins, Audley, Heather, Athens.
Oh, no.
Accents from all over Britain can now be heard on the British Library website. This past Wednesday, the English Accents and Dialects Division of the Library posted more than 55 hours of tapes of Britons talking. Johnny Robinson is curator of the archive. He explained what's on the website in a conversation last week from the British Library in London.
Well, firstly, there are about 300 recordings from the 1950s survey, which was done by the University of Leeds, matched to speakers from the same or a similar location from a BBC archive that was created in 1999. And so listeners can listen to pairs of speakers over time, if you like, and they can trace changes that have happened to individual accents and individual dialects in a certain area. But also they can chart the change of English across space, if you like, by simply listening to the modern recordings in isolation. And although there has been change in all parts of the country, there's been different change in different parts. So if you take just the modern recordings in isolation, for instance, there are still 300 very different voices on that website.
What's a good example of how a regional accent has changed over the past 50 years?
Right, well, there are certain vowel changes that have occurred. I mean, one of the big differences in the UK here is the difference between pronunciations of words like bath and last and grass, which has a short A sound, rather like an American accent, I suppose, in words like bath and last and grass in the north of England, whereas in the south of England there's a sound that you perhaps associate with RP and BBC English, which is bath and last and grass. And that sound is gradually spreading northwards, but the evidence from the website suggests that actually it's spreading far less quickly than we previously supposed.
Let's listen to one of the recordings. This is Miss Dibna of Welwick, Yorkshire. She was born in 1890 and in 1955 recorded these tips for baking bread.
Well, first I got a clean bowl. Then I put my flour in and I put my yeast to rise some warm water with a bit of sugar to make it rise better. And I rub some lard into my flour, a bit of salt, and then I mixed all up with some warm water. And I kneaded it real well. Because if you don't knead it real well, well, you don't get good bread.
So, first, could you translate for me?
Right, I mean, she's a wonderful speaker, isn't she? But she's got a very strong accent from the East Riding of Yorkshire. She's near a place called Hull in Yorkshire. She talks about, first she says you've got to get a clean bowl, and then you get yeast. She pronounced it yes, but nowadays we would call it yeast, and you mix it with some watter. Now, you still do get very broad dialect speakers in the north of England saying watter for water, but you mix it with water, and then you have to knead it. Now, interestingly, she uses the phrase real wheel, which, of course, in modern English would be pronounced real well.
She also talks about the flour.
The flour, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one. The pronunciation of words like mouth and house and out in Old and Middle English, and indeed in Middle High German, used to be muth and hus and oot. And you still hear that in broad Scottish accents and in some accents of the very far northeast of England around a city called Newcastle. But she lives a bit further south than that, and that particular vowel sound you're probably not likely to hear where she lives now.
Let's listen to another one. This is Les Oakes of Cheadle, Staffordshire. Mr. Oakes was born in 1938 and was recorded in 1999. And he talks about his collection of knickknacks.
I used to think I've done it for myself, but I haven't done it for myself. I've done it for the next generation. You know, people come up this yard, they go, hey, my granddad used to live there. Is that from such a place? Hey, blimmin' heck, my mother used to live there. And you get more pleasure out of listening. And that's the future of old England, as it used to be. Time to talk. Nowadays, there's no damn time.
Another translation, please.
Right, he's talking about, he's a collector of old knickknacks, as you say, and he's talking about keeping them for the next generation and talking about being the future of old England and how people come and are enthusiastic about some old objects that he's perhaps saved from different people. And he talks about, you know, my granddad used to have that sort of thing and things like that. One of the features that he uses, actually, I don't know whether you heard the pronunciation of the word there, but he said thea. And there used to be a sort of a set of words, where, there, here, which are now no longer pronounced the same, are they? We have where and there, which rhyme, but here is different, and that's probably the same in the United States. But in Old English, it used to be we're, here, and there, and speakers from his part of the country and further north still make that sort of three-way set, if you like.
And are these traits in speech things that people, would they write that way? Would they correct others if they didn't do it that way?
I don't think so. The speakers from the 1950s, most of those were hand-picked dialect speakers, and the vast majority had received very little education. They perhaps went to the local village school till they were about 12, and therefore probably were not particularly competent writers. But the modern speakers, of course, will all have been through the general English education system, which requires them to go to school till at least 16 these days. So the vast majority of those would write in what we might consider standard English. They would, like perhaps all of us, make mistakes every now and then, but their written English would look very different from the way they speak.
Johnny Robinson is curator of the English Accents and Dialects at the British Library's Sound Archive in London, England. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Again.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
I think she's got it. I think she's got it.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
By George, she's got it!
By George, she's got it! Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that soggy plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
The rain is
You are listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.